Good. Well, please, would you get a Bible open? We're going to turn to Colossians chapter 1 this evening. If you haven't got a Bible, please put a hand in the air, and one of our stewards would love to bring you one. Don't be embarrassed about putting your hand up. It's really important to have a Bible in front of you as we look at that together. Colossians 1. You'll find that on page 1182. Can I just say very honestly this evening, it was one of those kind of no pressure moments, you know, like your first sermon as pastor of EEFC. You're kind of like, okay, what are you going to preach on? And I kind of went round and round because, you know, there's no end of things you could say, right? Here's the Bible, and that's my job, is to preach the Bible. So I was going round and round, but actually, do you know where I landed in the end? I landed in that I want to say this evening the same thing that I said when I left Silver Street at the end of July. And the reason I want to do that is it's that sense of continuity for me. So it's not just regurgitating the same sermon. I have to say slightly different things here this evening. But actually, there is something about that. There is something about a continuity in the work between different churches. And so I want to just pick it up at chapter 1 and verse 24. I'll read it, then we'll sing together again. And then we'll have a look at this together. But Colossians 1, verse 24. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, Paul speaking, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. This is God's word to us this evening. Let's stand. Please sit yourselves down and grab your Bible again. Back to Colossians chapter 1, page 1182. And once you've had a moment to find that, we'll pray together. That's good. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we've just sung about your Son, the Lord Jesus, that he is your pure delight. We think of the baptism of our Lord Jesus, and your voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I'm very pleased." And Father, we ask that you would help us tonight to delight in Jesus as much as you do. That we would leave here tonight saying, "This is Jesus that we love. With him we are very pleased." Father, please, would your word stir us to that tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. On a recent family holiday to France, which is very grand for us as a family, but we went camping in France, we were enthusiastically setting off to go out for the day. And we were driving along, and in my normal kind of self, I was just quite happy, quite proud of myself that I was driving on the correct side of the road. And eventually we're kind of heading off to this destination, or at least I thought we were, and we go to this set of traffic lights. And Emma turns to me at the traffic lights, as we do, you know, I'm sitting there enjoying the music, confident in myself that I know where we're going. And Emma says, "Do you know where we're going?" And I turned and thought about it for a moment. I said, "I have absolutely no idea. I have no idea where we are, and I have no idea where we're going." Now, what does a modern family do when that's the case? When you're paused at the traffic lights and you have no idea where to go, what does a modern family do? They reach for their mobile phone, they get it out, and oh, it says, it's reminding me to preach. That's good. My phone's on. and you find Google Maps, and you click on Google Maps. So Emma whips out her phone at these traffic lights, and she punches in the destination, that's where we're trying to go to, and then she clicks Get Directions, and then suddenly, Mr. No Sense of Direction Howard has a set of directions and a destination, and he knows where he's going. Now, why do I share that with you this evening? Well, in many ways, as a church family, we come to a stage where we're sitting at a set of traffic lights, right? We're paused. And we might be looking at one another, asking the question that Emma asked me. Does anyone know where we're going? Now, the thing is, we do know where we're going. Because what I want to do this evening is pull out on you, not Google Maps, but what I want to call gospel maps. See what I did there? That's clever, isn't it? Gospel maps. I want us to pull out a couple of verses from this passage that we've looked at tonight. Verses that I want to share just really personally have been a real Google Maps to me, not just in my Christian life when you're thinking, well, where are we going? What are we doing? What is this all about? But they've actually been a real gospel maps to me during my time as a pastor. And I want you to look with them very carefully at me this evening. They're 1 Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29. Look at these verses. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. These two verses, as we pause at a set of traffic lights, we're kind of about to embark on a new stage of the journey, I want to suggest to us that this is the gospel maps for where we're about to do. It sets for us our destination. It tells us where we're going. But it also gives us our directions for how we get there. And then there's a third point, but you will go over that one later. Okay, so here it is. This is what we're going to look at tonight. First of all, these two verses spell out for us as a church family, as we sit at the traffic lights of a new season, where does the pin on the map land? Where are we going? Where is our destination? Our destination is to be made like Jesus. That is where the pin on the map is. The older I get, the more people tell me that I look like my dad. Now, if you were here this morning, my dad stood up here and he read the Bible and he's sitting over there. Now, can I say to you that as a teenager, if someone says to you, you look like your dad, that is about the worst thing you can say to a teenager. Somebody said it to Ethan the other day. Oh, you look just like your dad. At which point, Ethan kind of recoiled into his hoodie like someone had sworn at him. It was just like, that cannot be true. But actually, do you know what? Now that I'm a bit older, I don't mind that. I don't mind when people say, hey, you look like your dad. You're growing up to be like your dad, because there's lots about my dad I love and there's lots about him I want to be. And actually, I want to say to you that in a similar way, if you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus this evening, our destination is to grow up, to become like Jesus, to become like him in the way he treats people, to become like him in the way that he thinks and the way that he loves and his generosity. We're on a growing up journey to become like him. And it's a journey that has an ending. And I want you to look at that. Look at verse 28 with me. Can you look down? Paul says, we proclaim Jesus, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. And here's the key thing. Where's the destination? So that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Now, if you're sitting with a newer version of the NIV on your lap, then you'll notice that maybe this is translated out, we present everyone fully mature in Christ, because it's that sense that you're growing up to be like Jesus. The language here is that Paul says the destination that he's longing for Christians to reach is this moment in history when disciples of the Lord Jesus will be fully formed to be like Jesus, complete to be like Jesus, made fully like him. Now, in Bible terms, presented perfect in Christ is a shorthand way of saying that day when Jesus comes back and we will be transformed to be like him. That's what it is. It's that day that he's referring to. Becoming fully like Jesus is not something as a church family and as individuals we will reach this side of heaven. Let me just give you a couple of verses from the scriptures that help us to understand that. 1 John 3 verse 2 says this, "Dear friends, now, today, if you put your faith in Jesus, now we are children of God." Fact. "But what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." There is a day coming when we will be made fully like Jesus. Listen again to Philippians 3, verse 20. "But our citizenship is in heaven now." You belong, you're a member of heaven now. "And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies," and some of us may be feeling that right now, "so that they will be like his glorious body." That's the day on the horizon of our life. That's where the pin is on the Google map. Destination transformation. Destination be like Jesus, restored to the image of our Creator, to be like him, the way God made us to be. And friends, that day, that moment, that transformation is our destination. That's where we're going. And this is where we're heading. And that's what we're working towards, right? That's why we do what we do. That's why we want to grow up to be like Jesus, because there's the pin on the map and we're trying to get there. That's why we share the gospel with people, isn't it? Because we want them to receive Christ Jesus as Lord so that they can begin this journey of reaching that destination. It's why we gather together like this on a Sunday, isn't it? Because we want to grow up to be like Jesus. We want to hear from him and we want to keep sticking with Jesus so that we reach that day when we will be with him forever. Think of church a bit like a potting shed. I'm not a gardener, so this feels like a bit of a false illustration. But potting sheds, as I understand them, is where kind of little plants are kind of potted until they're fully formed and kind of fully grown and ready to go. And in many ways, the church is a potting shed. We're just kind of, we're saved by Christ and we're all in little pots and we're growing and we're growing until the day Jesus returns and he makes us fully like him. To help people reach that day is what Paul labored hard for as a pastor. That's what he talks about. You only have to read the New Testament to see how hard he worked to help people to start with Jesus and to continue with Jesus and to get to this great day, to stick with Jesus until they reach the day when Jesus fully transforms people to be like him. It's the growing up journey of a believer. And I want you to think about it like this as well. That day, that destination, that pin in the map, if I can put it crudely, it's what our Savior Jesus died for. He went to the cross so that a group of people who have marred the image of our Creator, who have broken that image in us, and who have separated ourselves from God because of our sin, the Lord Jesus came into this world and died so that he could forgive a group of people and one day transform them to be like him forever. And I want to ask you this evening, is that the destination that you're heading towards? Is that the pin on the map of your life? Is that where you think you're heading? Is that where everything is geared towards? Is this the destination that you will give yourself fully to reach? That's the pin on the horizon. That's our goal. That's where we're driving towards. That is our destination. Does this destination, you know, when you wake up on a Monday morning, is this the destination that shapes what you fill your week with? I know I'm where I'm going. I'm going to be like Jesus, and I want to grow up to be like Jesus, and I want to be on that journey. Does that shape what fills your diary in a week? Is this destination, knowing where you're heading, does this shape the way that we pray for one another as a church? You know, Lord, please help this church family this week to grow up to be a little bit more like Jesus. Please help them to keep sticking with Jesus this week so that they reach that final day when the Lord Jesus will return and make them fully like him. There are many things that I can tell you will fight to be our destination, to fight to be the thing that we work towards as a church family. You know, perhaps it's not high on your agenda, but you know, the danger is churches simply work to be well-run churches. That's the destination. Well, if you want to fight for that, well, you might get there. You might not with me in charge, but you might do. A church that others look at with envy. A church that's kind of known, got a reputation for doing good. Is that our destination? Is that what we're pushing towards as a church family? No. We're pushing towards a day where we want to be sticking with Jesus to the point where he comes back and then he transforms us to be like him. Our goal, our destination is that we want people to start walking with Jesus and keep walking with Jesus until he comes back. As a pastor, I want to get to that day. Very selfishly, I want to get to that day, and I want to say in all my imperfections and in all my failures, but I want to be able to say, Father, here is a group of people that I have helped to stick with the Lord Jesus, who I've helped to journey on that route, and I've taught Jesus to them, and now, Father, you have transformed them to be like Jesus. That's what Paul says, and I want to present them to them to be perfect in Christ. That should be our goal. Every believer is on a growing up journey, growing up to be like Jesus. And it's one that finishes, the pin on the map, is with us being made fully like him. Now, I don't know, for some of you this evening, maybe for some of you younger guys, you're not on that journey yet. But you could be on this growing up journey by receiving Jesus as your Lord, by saying, yeah, I believe in him, and I believe he died to forgive me. You can begin this journey. And your destination can be this day when you will be made perfect to be like Jesus. When church life's busy, and when meetings are coming at you thick and fast, and you're involved in many things and being asked to be involved in many things, do you know what? I've often had to pick up this verse and say, what are we doing? Where are we going? Well, we're going to this day. We're heading to this moment. We're all about this day, helping people to stick with Jesus until he comes and makes us fully like him. This is why we do what we do. That's the destination on our gospel maps. But the question is, how do we get there? So there's the pin. So we've all gone and seen it now. It's pin on the direction. But how are we going to reach that? Well, here it is. Our directions, this verse shows us how we get there. We proclaim Jesus. You see, there are no shortages of books in this world that will tell you how to achieve certain things. So, 7 steps to have the perfect beach body. I don't know why I'm doing that, actually, because that's really not very accurate, is it? I haven't got that book. But there's like the 10 steps to having the perfectly organized life. If you follow this set of directions, ba-da, out pops the destination that you're trying to reach. That's what people say. But if we as a church family are to grow up to be like Jesus, if we're to stick with Jesus so we get to that day when we will be made like him, what are the directions to get there? Well, look at chapter 1, verse 28. We proclaim him. In other words, we preach Jesus. And we keep preaching Jesus. And we keep preaching Jesus. We need to hear the message of Jesus. Jesus was the entire content of the Apostle Paul's message. He says to the Corinthians, I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Christ and him crucified. He didn't have fancy techniques. He didn't have 10 steps to get to heaven. He just said, I want to teach you Jesus because he is everything. He taught Jesus, the Son of God, the Son that God loves. He taught Jesus, the one who came into this world to rescue us from the kingdom of darkness and bring us into Jesus' kingdom where he rules and where he teaches us and where he loves us and where he leads us. Paul's God-given direction was to teach people Jesus. That's how you grow people up to become like Jesus. That's how we reach that day. That's how we stick with Jesus through all the highs and lows of life, to proclaim Jesus in all his fullness, his love and his gentleness, his compassion, his authority, his control over all things. We need to tell these things to one another, his warnings, his instructions. just have a look with me again at verse 28, because proclaiming Jesus, you know, that kind of sounds like, well, that's just, yeah, I get that. And you think, well, that's just what he does when he stands up the front. But can I tell you that it's much bigger than that? See, look at chapter 1, verse 28. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching one another, or teaching everyone with all wisdom. Proclaiming Jesus involves admonishing. Now, I'm not sure when the last time you used that word was. I don't think I said, I'd just like to admonish you, if that's okay. I don't think I said that to my children recently. Ethan, I'd like to admonish you, son. But what does it mean? Because we don't use it very much, does it? Can I tell you what it means? It literally means to warn someone. Warning is part of proclaiming Jesus. Did you know that? What do we need as a church family? We need warnings. And you kind of think, oh, that's a bit uncomfortable, isn't it? Got to warn one another. But warning is what keeps us on track. You know, as a parent, I am used to warning people. You know, Levi, don't put your head in the oven. That's a really dangerous thing to do. It's a warning, but it's a loving warning. Levi, don't stick your fingers in that plug socket. That's a loving warning. And what do disciples of the Lord Jesus need? As you proclaim Jesus, it involves admonishing, warnings. Warnings of false gospels. Things that kind of sound attractive and think, oh, that would be really good, but it's false. Stay away. We need to warn about the things that Jesus says are wrong. We need to warn of sins. We need to teach the warnings that Jesus proclaimed, the warnings of hell, the warnings of fleeing from sin. We need to flee, he says. I don't know about you, but warning others can feel very uncomfortable at times, can't it? I put my hands up and say, actually, it's probably one of the hardest things about being a pastor. It's one of the things I least enjoy, is warning people. Can feel very uncomfortable. But actually, it's a vital part of the directions we need in order to grow up to be like Jesus. And actually, warning each other is the way that we show love for one another. If we're proclaiming Jesus in his fullness, it will involve sometimes saying to one another, hey, should you really be doing that? I'm not sure that fits with what Jesus says. I'm really grateful for the times in my life where people have warned me that, you know, in proclaiming Jesus to me, they said, that doesn't really fit with being a disciple, Nathan. And you kind of clock that and you think, okay, yeah, thank you for saying that. But actually, just look with me again. It's not just warning, is it? Look at verse 28. Proclaiming Jesus also involves teaching everyone with all wisdom. So literally, it's instructing. We teach people with the teachings of Jesus. See, to proclaim Jesus, yes, it's proclaiming his cross and it's proclaiming his resurrection and it's proclaiming his return as judge, but it's also proclaiming the things he taught us. We proclaim to one another obedience to Jesus. You know, what does it look like to walk as one of his followers? You know, we do this for everyone, it says, that we teach everyone. That's the youngest, the oldest, those that love learning, that those not love learning, we do it in groups, we do it privately. To teach, to proclaim Jesus means that we take the good news of Jesus and we rub it into people's lives where they're at. You know, that's what that little phrase means. Have a look there. It says, we teach with all wisdom. Now you might think, well, what does that mean? It literally means you take the good news of Jesus that you know and you apply it to where someone's at. So when your child is struggling at school, you take the good news of Jesus and you apply it with wisdom to their situation. When someone is sick in their bed and you're sitting beside them, what does it mean? Well, you proclaim Jesus to them by taking it and you, with wisdom, you apply it to where they're at. You proclaim Jesus to them and that's what keeps them on track. When someone's got a big choice to make in life and they come to you and they say, I don't know what to do about this. Can you help me? Wisdom, teaching with wisdom means you take Jesus and all his message and you apply it to their situation. You rub it in and you say, this is what it means to follow Jesus, or help them to think about it. Does that make sense to people? So proclaiming Jesus means admonishing, warning one another. But it also means taking all that good news of Jesus that we know and we love and we sing about when we come together on a Sunday and you rub it into someone's life where they're at. What they're doing there and then. And can I tell you, there are no shortcuts. There was no shortcuts to becoming like Jesus. You know, it'd be great, wouldn't it, if, you know, you could, we could have like a little sort of walk through that little vestry area, you know, and afterwards, and I just wave your hand over me, ooh, and, you know, you pop, out pop the other side of the vestry and you become like Jesus. That would be cool, wouldn't it? But it's no shortcuts. We proclaim him. How are we going to stick with Jesus? How are we going to grow up to become like Jesus? It's as we proclaim Jesus week in, week out, Sundays, Tuesdays, at our kids' groups, at our together Bible studies, as we study the Bible in our homes. And I want to tell you guys this evening that it is not just my job to do that. Turn over the page for you to Colossians 3, verse 16. Colossians 3, verse 16 says this: let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitudes in your hearts to God. The same word about the Lord Jesus, the same Jesus that Paul proclaimed, the crucified, risen, ascended, returning Lord Jesus, is the word, the one who's to dwell amongst us richly. That message is to fill our life. Do you notice that? We're to sing it, we're to pray it, we're to study it, we're to text it. Now, I know it doesn't say that in Colossians, but you can text it to one another. And as you share the word of Christ, as you proclaim Jesus to one another, and you apply it with wisdom to where everyone's at, then that's how we stick with Jesus. And Paul says that that is hard work. Did you notice that? Back a page, verse 29. To this end I labor. Now that word, we don't quite kind of capture that, but to labor over something is hard work. It's sweaty work. It's a slog. And we give ourselves fully to that work, laboring and struggling to make sure that we keep teaching Jesus to one another. There was a danger as a church family that as we sit at the traffic lights, we could give our energies and our labors to all sorts of things, some of which are very good things, I would like to add. We can labor and sweat over lots of things, but the thing that Jesus in this part of his word says we give ourselves to wholeheartedly is to making sure we teach Jesus to one another constantly. We proclaim him, warning one another, admonishing one another, teaching one another with all wisdom, wherever people are at, whether they're sick in their beds or whether they're big decisions to make or whether they're heading off to uni, we take the message of Jesus and we rub it into one another. Why? Because that's the directions we're given to get to this destination of becoming like Jesus. The question is, will you trust those directions? Google Maps, so sorry to go back to Google Maps, but it is the theme. Emma and I tried this thing. So on the way home from holiday, it was really bad traffic. So Google Maps, if you've got it, offers this thing where it says, oh, traffic's coming up. Would you like me to take you another route? And we thought, oh, that sounds exciting. So we said yes, but then we decided after a while that we'd just say yes to every diversion that it asked us to. Now, we spent about 4 hours driving home, but we trusted the instructions, and it got us home. We believed what we were told, and we said, yes, we'll follow them. Now, here's the question for us as a church family. If we are trying to get to this day of being like Jesus, being with him forever, transformed, will we trust his directions to get there? There's lots of things that would be exciting for us to get up to as a church, isn't there? Lots of things that might make us feel good. You know, if we can go and do lots of good things and stuff like that. It feels a bit dull, doesn't it, just to keep proclaiming Jesus to one another? But it's an issue of faith. Do we believe that constantly teaching Jesus to one another is the way that we'll reach that goal? I believe it is. And we should trust these directions because that's the way that we'll reach our final goal. Can I say very personally that these words have often been a Google Maps to me? When I hit these moments of thinking, well, what should I be doing? What should I be getting up to as a pastor? When weeks are filling up with all sorts of things, the thing I should be doing is proclaiming Christ. But actually, Colossians says that's the thing we should all be doing if we're to reach that destination. So it's our destination. You still with me? Our directions And very lastly, and this is just a preacher's D, so please forgive me, our diesel. How do we get there? What's in the tank? Well, it's Jesus. I don't know if you've ever been in a car when it's run out of fuel. Has anyone had that experience? Yeah, it's. I remember as a kind of not long after driving, me and a friend were driving near where we lived, and the car just kind of, and then it just kind of rolled into the side of the road. And being kind of late teens, you know, we thought we should do the man thing of open the bonnet and kind of look inside and twist a few things and looking like we knew what we were doing. Actually, we had no idea, but we thought we should look like it. And eventually, what we worked out was that the car had run out of fuel and the gauge had stopped working. It tells you about the sort of cars that we had to buy when we were that age. But eventually, you see, we figured out that a car with no fuel is going nowhere fast. And in a similar way, to reach this destination of being made like Jesus, which is where we're going, friends, and to follow these directions of proclaiming Jesus, we need fuel in the tank. And what is the fuel in the tank that we need? Well, look with me at verse 29. To this end, I labor, struggling with all his, Jesus's energy, which so powerfully works in me. Paul was working astonishingly hard for himself and for others to reach this day, to stick with Jesus. But he did it with all the energy that came from relying on Jesus, from looking to Jesus. Paul preached Jesus to his own soul before he preached it to others. The energy to prepare another talk for treasure hunters, that energy to get up early 10 minutes to read the Bible. I mean, who doesn't want an extra 10 minutes in bed when the clocks are changing? Hey, it's a struggle, isn't it? But that energy to get up and get the Bible open because you know that it'll do you good to preach Jesus to your own soul. Where does that come from? It comes as we rely on our Lord Jesus. Where does the energy come from to keep going out onto the streets and talk about Jesus to others when no one really wants to listen to you? Where does the energy come from to keep praying for your family when you long for them to be Christians? Where does that energy come from? Well, it's not going to come from yourself. It's going to come from the Lord Jesus. And I'm grateful, I really am grateful that this church family is a laboring family. But as we continue to labor together to serve Jesus, to reach that day when we become like Jesus, please can we make sure that we are making regular stops at the petrol station of Jesus. Google Maps, I'm sounding like an advert. I'm not a salesman for Google Maps, by the way. Google Maps, when you're driving along, it has these little petrol station pictures, so you know how far till the next petrol station. It's a really good thing. Except when you're walking, because you don't need petrol. But anyway, it's got these diesel pictures, these little pump pictures, and you're journeying along, and you know when to fill up. And can I say to us that we have to make regular stops at our Lord Jesus by spending time in prayer and in his words? You see, if we're just giving out gospel all the time, but we're not feeding on it, what's going to happen to the engine? We're just going to... And we'll just pull into the side of the road and we'll give up. Actually, friends, as we head on from here, as we plow into a new chapter of our life as a church, we're heading to that day when we will be made like Jesus. We will get there. We will grow up to become like Jesus as we keep telling one another about him in every circumstance we find ourselves in. But we'll only have the energy to do it as we rely upon him. If you've been asleep for my sermon, just wake up for a moment, because I'm going to sum it up in one sentence. Are you ready? It's all about Jesus. As we head into a new chapter of our life as a church, what is it all about? It's all about Jesus. To go and be like him, reach that destination of being with him forever. It's all about him. He's the directions that we get there. We proclaim him to one another. We proclaim him to our community. And we do it by relying upon him. It's all about him. And as we begin a new chapter together as a church family, may this verses prove to be a gospel map, a Google map, that we have regularly at our pocket. Say, well, where are we going? What are we trying to do? as we head into this new time together. Will you pray with me? Let's bow our heads and pray together. Our God and our Father in heaven, we want to say thank you afresh for our Savior Jesus tonight. We want to thank you that he came into this world, unlovely as we were, and he came to save us for that day when he will make us fully like him and we will be with you forever. And Father, please would you stir in us a fresh hope for that day that's coming. Please, even this week, would you give us fresh eyes to see the pin on the map where we're heading. Father, we look forward to that day where we will be made fully like Jesus, and we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And Father, please would you help us as a church family to be those that proclaim Jesus to one another. May the word of Christ dwell amongst us richly, that we might sing it to one another, that we might pray about it, that we might share it with one another, that we might together stick with the Lord Jesus, be unmoved from him as we journey to that day. May we continually grow up to be like him. And Father, please would we be people who rely upon Jesus. Father, as we pull into the petrol station of a Sunday, as we pull in to the petrol station of a Tuesday night, as we get our Bibles open, Father, please would we preach the gospel to our own hearts, to our own souls. Father, every day would we remind ourselves of your love for us, that we might be in turn filled with love for others. Father, we need your help as we press forward as a church family into a new chapter together. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.